to Philippians chapter number 3. Paul wrote this letter to the believers at Philippi while he was a prisoner at Rome, awaiting execution. Yet I read his writings and find no hint of despair, no words of discouragement, no signs of despondency. He's not down in the dumps. In fact, there's nothing but joy and victory when you read his writing. And that's what I've tried to preach all these years as a minister. The Christian joy is not determined by what's going on around about us. Our joy is determined on what's going on the inside.
I like that. If you got something real down inside, you have the joy. Thank God, thank God. I'm not going to read the entire scripture, but I want you to keep the Bible open. I want to read the first part of the first verse. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. A good thought for the final Sunday morning of the year. Think about it, when we come to the end of, not only the year, but come to the end of life. Come to the end of the journey that God has laid out for us. Whatever we might have accomplished in this life along the way, there's nothing more assuring, nothing more satisfying than to know that everything's all right between you and the Lord. All is well. Can you say that this morning? Out of the depths of your heart, it's all well with you. Let's say it together, all is well. Everyone, all is well. I should say it this way. All who is well, will the Lord say it with me. I hope that's everyone. All is well. Praise God, praise God. That's a good feeling. Knowing that everything's covered by the blood. And all is well. In these verses, Paul says, if your sins have been forgiven, if you're saved by grace, if you're a child of the King, if you've been adopted in the family of the Almighty God, think about it. When all of this is over, you've got something to be happy about. You've got something to rejoice about. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Stop for a moment. Take you just about a half a second. You can think of something to rejoice about. Rejoice in the Lord. Let me give some examples. In the 15th chapter of Exodus, I'm not going to have you to turn to these examples. You should keep your Bibles open to the 3rd chapter of Philippians. In the 15th chapter of Exodus, the children of Israel have been delivered from Egyptian bondage. They have come to the Red Sea, and God has given a miracle and opened the waters of the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground. And when they got on the other side, they looked back, and the Pharaoh's army was coming, and as they were making their way across the dry ground of the Dead Sea, the Bible says the waters came back and drowned them all. And Miriam standing over there on the banks of the Red Sea, the sister of Moses, began to have the people to sing and rejoice. Could I ask you a question? What do you suppose they were singing about? God's just given great deliverance. And now a miracle of crossing the Red Sea. I'll tell you what they were doing. They were rejoicing in the Lord. They were praising God and rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah. I went to the book of Samuel, and I found the time came when David was king of Israel, and he got his men together, and they said, let's go bring the Ark of the Covenant home. Let's bring it to Jerusalem, to the capital city. And the Bible says, as they went, listen to this, every pace, every 6 paces, and a pace is 5 feet. Stop, David said. Let's worship. And we offered sacrifices. And we walked 5 more paces. Or 6 more paces. 30 feet. Stopped again and offered sacrifices. And the Bible says, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Amen. When they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city and the people worshiping, praising God, the Bible says they rejoiced and praise the Lord. Folks, we've got some rejoice about. Amen, amen. David. leading the people in worship and praising and magnifying the Almighty God. Then you come to the 8th chapter of 1 Kings, you find that the son of David, Solomon the king now, has built the temple, a beautiful sight, nothing like it in the world. The temple covered with gold, a beauty when the sun hits it, a beauty. And he goes to the temple and the people come. He gives the dedication sermon. Dedication of the temple, and the Bible says that the dedication day, the Shekinah glory filled the tabernacle, filled the temple. God came down, the glory of the Lord came down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that when the trumpet sounded, they began to rejoice and magnify God. Let me say this today. I believe that if the Lord were to come down today, we can rejoice. But let me say it with you. He's already come down. Rejoice in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I thought about this past year. Looking back, as our superintendent told us this morning, to think about things. I thought about the times when God's presence has been so real. And God is blessed. God is blessed in the altar. God has blessed people. And I believe this. I believe if our spiritual eyes could be open at times, I believe we would see the Shekinah glory of God. In fact, I believe He's more real than we can imagine. The Shekinah glory of God. And when the place was filled with the glory of the Almighty God, and they began to rejoice. Worship, folks, we've got something to rejoice about. If you've been saved by grace, if you're a child of the King, if you've been adopted into the family of the Lord, you've got some rejoice about. Satan will try to steal your victory. He'll try to take everything he can away from you. He came to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, "But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Hallelujah, hallelujah. We don't need to live in a lower than abundant life. In a less than abundant life. Amen, amen. And they rejoiced in the Lord. As Solomon finished the prayer and dedicated the temple to the glory of God, they began to rejoice and praise and magnify the Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And on this final Sunday of the year 2013, I want to thank God for all He's done for us. Some of you might have the idea He hasn't done very much for me. If you're here this morning, He's been good to you. Some are even suffering right now. Some of our church folks are really suffering, going through a difficult time. But in the midst of it all, God's been good. And He's worthy of our praise. And if you know the Lord today as your Savior, you have something to rejoice about. If we were to close the service today, there, and meet at the altar, we would not have to go back through anything but just thanking God for what He's done. Rejoicing in the Lord. I wonder sometimes why God would save me. I wonder why He would choose me. Why He would reach down His hand for me, but I'm so glad that He did. Lost and undone, without hope, without God or His Son. In sin. Living a lie. And yet He loved me. Hallelujah. We've got something to rejoice about. God will never get tired of hearing you rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Then in the 4th chapter of Philippians, I'm going to read verses 7 through 9. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul's one great desire was to please the Lord, to live for the Lord, to obey the Lord in all things. And as we close the year of 2013 and begin a fresh new year, I say today, that's my desire as well. And I ask you the question, is that your desire to please God? Is it your desire to live for the Lord? Paul says, I've lost all things, but he said, I have no regrets. they want nothing more than God. I would willingly give them all up to serve God. You know what people do? They hold on to things that will not be eternal, and they lose out on things that are.
Amen.
Hold on to possessions that will, when you die, somebody will fight over them.
Yeah.
Or they'll be squandered.
Yeah.
Or whatever. People hold on to that and let go of the Lord. I say, let go of anything but hold on to God.
Amen, amen.
Paul said, I counted all of those that I've lost. Let me just share some things with you. He was headed for high places, hoping to be on the Sanhedrin court. He studied and defeated Gamaliel. He was a brilliant, had a brilliant mind. When you read the New Testament, you find Paul was a brilliant man. They thought that Peter, James, and John were unlearned and ignorant, but not Paul. He's an educated man, but when he met the Lord, he counted all his goals that he had as nothing. My goal now is to serve God and please the Lord. And let me share this with you today. There's going to be nothing more wonderful than to be faithful to God and one day hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank God, thank God, thank God. He will never, I said this before in my ministry, he will never serve to you nor to me unless I'm faithful. We have politicians that will tell you all kinds of things, but God is not a politician. He does not speak with a forked tongue. He'll tell you just like it is. And if he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, it'll be because we were good and faithful. I want to be good and faithful. I want to serve him with all of my heart. Like Paul. Paul said in those verses 7 through 9, but things which I gained to me, the counted of the loss, they are nothing. I count them as nothing. These last five Sunday school lessons, we've been talking about the birth and the dedication of Jesus and the naming of Jesus. The one who turned his back on the glory world and the splendors of heaven and came to this earth to die for the sins of the world. But I find in Paul, he said, I've forsaken all to be what God would have me to be. And I thank God today, listen closely if you will, there's nothing back yonder, there's nothing out there that would cause us to go back on God. Everything behind us, keep on going, keep on serving God, keep on living for God. Whatever you do, please God.
Yes.
I found a long time ago, somebody told me when I was very young in the ministry, that's been a long time ago. You can't please everybody. All the time. And I found that to be so. And I believe my mother, and she had a lot of wisdom and told us a lot of things, and some things have stuck with me. I believe it was my mother that let me to know, please God. If you can't please man, please God. Even Jesus couldn't please man. Please God. And I realize if the Lord tarries, I don't have many more final Sundays of a year to live. I know that. And I know the bulk of my life is behind me, and I know that. But as long as I live, I want to please God. I want to do that which is pleasing in the eyes of God. Man might not see some things that I do. Man might not know some things that I try to do. But God sees everything. And we don't fool God. I just confessed this morning, I thought there were times when I fooled my daddy. And I really believe I did. I got away with some things that he didn't know about. The things he knew about I didn't get away with. But you don't ever fool God. And he sees it all, and he's got a record. And he's got your name. He's got your name on the book. He knows what you're doing and how you're living. What you say, where you go. He knows all about every one of us. And when that day comes, I want my record to be that which is pleasing to God. And the only way that it will be is I live that way. And you live that way. God help us. Paul said, that's my desire. To be more and more like Jesus in my daily living. He's committed his all to the Lord. His material possession didn't mean anything anymore. He was sanctified. He loved the Lord with all his heart, his soul, and his mind, and his faith. And in the last part of the 8th verse, he says, I've suffered the loss of all things and you count them but dumb, that I may win Christ. That was his primary purpose, that I may win Christ, that I might I be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you today, that's my desire. I want to be more like Him.
When Jesus reigns supreme in the hearts and the lives of people like Paul, the righteousness of God will be their covering. Righteousness of God by faith, Paul said. Let me use an illustration if I may. Isaiah said all of our righteousness is all as filthy rags. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's not very pretty.
When you look at yourself in the mirror, all of your righteousness is nothing more than a box or a bag or a sack of filthy rags.
When we got saved, we became clothed in His righteousness. He gave us His righteousness. And if anyone is in this congregation this morning righteous, it's because Jesus Christ gave you His righteousness. One writer said, there's none righteous, no, not one. You know who said it? The fool. No one loves God. The fool said in his heart, there's none righteous, no, not one. And I can understand one part of it. In ourselves, there's nothing about us that's righteous. But if Jesus is in your heart, you're like, brother, we have His righteousness. Clothed, and Paul said, I want to be more and more like Jesus. That's the way I want to live my life. I'm determined to go that direction. Hallelujah. When we set the Christ through faith, we repented of our sins. We were forgiven. We were saved by grace. We were adopted into the family of God. And now He gave us His righteousness. And no longer is it like the words of Paul to the church of Colossae when he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I would like to change that today. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's not changing the scriptures. It's Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. Aren't you glad? Christ rules and reigns. And Paul said, I now am clothed in His righteousness. Then let me read verses 10 through 11. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, which being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after it, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In verses 10 and 11, Paul said that I might know Him. Believing in Him is a great message. It's a great and a great message, is what he said. It's like the father that had a son that had a bad spirit, and he came to Jesus and said, I want you to, would you heal my son? And Jesus said, if you only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. What did my father say? Lord, help thou mine unbelief. You know what Paul was saying? Lord, I want to believe in a greater measure. I want to serve you in a greater measure. I want to love you in a greater measure. Somebody said, well, Brother Jones, if you love the Lord with all of your heart, how can you love Him in a greater measure? I tell you how, by Him enlarging your heart. Amen. God's a good God. And there's room for improvement in every one of us. God loves us, and Paul wanted that as he was going through life and ministering and winning the lost and building churches. He wanted more and more and more of Jesus. And I thank God today for all He's done in our hearts and in our lives. Paul was saying more, speaking of more than just head knowledge. He was talking about a knowledge that was in action, a knowledge that was getting something done for the glory of God and the power of the resurrection. Let me say this today. The power of the resurrection is powerful. The power of God that brought Jesus from the grave. The same power that Paul was praying for. More of the power of God that I might be found worthy in that great hour when the Lord shall come. Speaking of the power of the resurrection. Then in those verses again, he said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I want to clarify something. It's not Bible study. I want to clarify something. He was saying, if I might attain unto the resurrection out from among the dead.
There's going to be a resurrection of the dead. There's going to be a first resurrection and a second resurrection. Jesus is the first fruits of the first resurrection. And when the rapture takes place and the saints are called out, we'll still be in the first resurrection. And the Bible says, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Paul was saying, and that's going to be the rapture for us, Paul was saying that I might live in such a manner that I'll be resurrected up from the living of the dead. Some are going to be in the grave when we're gone. The ungodly will not come out of the grave when we come out, when the righteous come out. He said that I might live such a manner that I will be caught up and out from among the dead, that I might be in the rapture. Let me just give some little bit of teaching, and we've had it before. Not as though I was already perfect. Not as though I've already attained to that eternal perfection. But the Bible says everybody should be perfect. Yes. Paul was not saying I have not been made perfected in the eyes of God, sanctified, loving God with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my faith, all of my mind. He's saying I have not yet received my glorified body. Yes. And when I receive my glorified body, it'll not only be a glorified body, it'll be a glorified with Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
Do you understand that? Let me just say something else. Paul was ready to die. Paul said, and this is North Carolina language, if I had my brothers, I'd brother go on and be with the Lord. Paul said to be acting in the body is to be present with the Lord. If I were to die this moment, Paul would say, I would immediately be in the presence of God. And he realized what a great thing time that's going to be. But he's saying now in the Scripture, I'm going to live my life that whenever I die, or whenever the Lord comes, that I'm going to be a part of the rapture, living or dead. Now, he's the God of the living and the dead. Or we could just say the living. He's the God of the living. But please understand, when people have died and the trumpet sounds, everybody's not coming out of the grave. The ungodly are going to stay there for 1,000 years. The remains of their body. The ungodly are already in hell if they've died. You understand that? And when the rapture takes place, the ungodly are not coming out of their graves, but the righteous are. And Paul said, I'm living my life so that if I die when the rapture takes place, I will come out from among the dead. I will be caught up from among the dead. I will be raptured. Amen. So whether I live or whether I die, I am the Lord's. Brother, that's something to shout about. That's something to rejoice about. But he knew, I have not reached eternal perfection. I want you to say with me right now. He said, I am perfect. I have obeyed God. I love God with all of my heart. God said be perfect, and Paul said, I am. But I have not yet reached eternal perfection. I haven't received my glorified body. I am keeping on. I'm keeping on running the race. I'm keeping on walking in the light so that I might, in that great day, receive that glorified body. You can love God this morning with all of your heart and in the eyes of God. Be perfect. That's God's will for every one of us. This is God's will, that everyone be sanctified. Sanctification will perfect you in the eyes of God. That means take everything away that's ungodly and serving with all of your heart. I didn't know when that Bible study this morning, but I just fill that in. Amen. Paul said, my desire is to live in a manner to please God so that when that day comes, I'll be caught up from among the dead. If he doesn't come while I'm living, I'll be caught up from among the dead and be caught up with the saints of the Lord. That was his desire. Let me give you my testimony. My testimony is the very same thing. I'm not a Paul, and you know that. But I want to please God. And if I go by the way of the grave, I want to come out from among the dead when that trumpet sounds. Hallelujah, hallelujah, receive a glorified body. That's what I'm striving for. That's what I'm living for. Then Paul said, I trust the Lord tomorrow for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the prize, Brother Jones? The prize is the rapture. What is the mark? I trust the Lord the mark. I trust the Lord the goal line. I trust the Lord the tape. I'm running the race. I'm traveling with the Lord. I'm following the Lord. I'm obeying God. Now trust the Lord the mark. I've got my eyes on the goal. It's like a runner. Get your eyes on the goal. You can't watch everything else that's going around the back. Get your eyes on the goal. Keep on going. Keep on walking in the light as He's the light. Keep on serving God. Keep on obeying God. Keep on going. No place to stop now. Amen. Paul said, I press towards the mark, to the finish line, because I intend to cross the line with victory. I intend to cross the line with victory. And then he says that my prize is the rapture and to have a glorified body. Let me share some things, and I'm going to read a song. We're going to pray this last Sunday morning. You've got to make up your mind if you intend to go. You believe that? You've got to make up your mind. You've got to be determined in your heart that nothing is going to hinder you, whatever it is. Whether it's husband, wife, children, whatever. Loved ones, friends. You've got to make up your mind you're going to serve God whatever comes your way.
That's right.
And we used to sing a song, and I find out we've got it in the New Course book. I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. We've sung that in our first church way back yonder, and now it's in this Course book here, but I want to read three verses of a song in the hymn book. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He's the true one. He's the just one. He has the words of life. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith and do what He willeth. He is the living way. I am resolved that He will go with me, comforted without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. One other song. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment when Jesus a pardon receives. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul said in that first verse, let us come when He say, finally my brethren rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Then he said, I press the word the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm saying as I close this morning, finally my brethren, as we come to the last Sunday of the year, let's rejoice in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let's give praise to God for what He's done. If we are not careful, we'll spend our time continuing to ask and plead and beg for something else. We ought to stop and thank God for what He's done. Rejoice in the Lord and in the power of His might. I've been praying and you've been praying. I've been praying for healing miracles. For my wife, for Brother Bill, and several of the others that need a touch in their body. Some of you here today that are in pain. And I've been praying for healing miracles. We say rejoice. Paul said rejoice in the Lord and in the power of His might. We can rejoice before we're healed because He's still God. Some people say, well, when I'm healed, that's when I rejoice. I want you to understand, rejoice now because His Word says so.
Amen.
One more illustration and I close.
Amen.
Elijah had the showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Said to his servant, go out there and see if you see a cloud out over the sea. God has said there's going to be rain. Go find if there's a cloud. And the servant went out around Mount Carmel and came back and there was his master Elijah. And he said, Elijah, what do you see out there? He said, Master, I see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do, give up?
No,
he said, go again. He went a second time, went out there, came back again. His master Elijah said, what did you see? Nothing, nothing. Third time, fourth time, fifth time, six times. What did you see? Nothing, nothing, nothing. And it's easy to give up
mm-hmm.
when you don't see anything. He said, go again.
Right.
And he went again. And I imagine when he made that turn to see his master, imagine he had a smile on his face. What'd you see? Well, I saw a cloud, but it wasn't very large. As of a man's hand, way out there over the sea. Elijah said, that's it. Get up. Let's get going. There's going to be an abundance of rain. They call it in Oklahoma, gully washer. There's going to be a downpour. Let's get going. All he saw was a little hand out there. A cloud is the size of a man's blackness of a man's hand. Well, I'm there to see him. Elijah said, that's enough. Listen, closer. I'm asking God to give you a vision today. If it's just a small vision, then it's still God.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Listen to this. Elijah's giving up in age. He's good himself. He said, let's go. Let's get down from this mountain. Rain's coming. He started running. You talk about a marathon. Here's a marathon pitcher. He ran 18 miles. And when he got to Jezreel, guess what? He told the servant, tell the king to get his horses together, get in the chariot, get down off of this mountain. And the king got the horses all hooked up, and headed down that mountain, and when the king got there, Elijah had already beat him. We're serving a big God. We say, if I can see it, I believe it. Why don't you thank God before you see it? Thank God before you see it. We're believing God to take care in the church for the pastor, the rest, and I give thanks to God because it's His doing. He's still God. He's still in control. We're going to thank God this morning for being good to us. Blessing our hearts. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord and in the power of His might. We're not even going to sing a song. I've asked God to restore my wife's memory and her body so that she can do what she wants to do for the glory of God.
Yes.
Not just because she's my wife, I pray for others the same way. God, give a miracle.
Yes.
And this morning I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord.
Yes.
Because of everything He's already done.
Yes.
Believing Him to take care of His will. You know how I pray? I pray for God's will to be done.
That's right.
In every situation, because I know if it's His will, that's best.
That's right.
I know what I want.
Amen.
And I want God's will. Will you stand together with me? We're not going to sing. We're not going to sing this morning.
Amen.